I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to read a wholeness of this text because it covers the whole spectrum of marriage. And then I want you to listen to me very carefully. The secret of this whole thing is to turn your marriage into spiritual partnership. Write that down. Spiritual partnership. What that's going to do is erase the echo. A lot of time in our marriage, we're dealing from an echo, something we think should be said, or something we thought of. Echoes of our thoughts, echo of our words, echoes of our intention. The word intention, I'm going to deal with it in a little while. But the whole spectrum of your marriage must change now because you're not just married, but you're entered into spiritual partnership. You're going to get your ego out the way. Your ego is a marriage disruptor. It's also going to get your, listen very carefully, your personality out of the way. See, personalities crashes because two people married with different personalities. And what happens in marriage is you're trying to protect your personality. And what it's doing is making you void of your partnership. So your marriage is going to have to be spiritual. It cannot be physical. It cannot be sex. You see, because sex run out. And the physical relationship, your senses, it run out. But when it's spiritual, you always got a radar of reading, of understanding that what I put out going to come back to me. So I don't want to put out my ego. I don't want to put out my personality. I want the Spirit of God guiding my marriage. So I have to see my marriage. Listen to me now. I have to see my marriage from this day forward. I don't care if I've been married 60 years. I have to see my marriage to protect our marriage as spiritual partnership. Therefore, three things are going to emanate from that. Love, compassion, and forgiveness. That cannot come out of your personality that is not connected to a renewed, restored, and a restful soul. That's the problem. Personality split. From this day forward, there's going to be partnership. And you know physically, mentally, you can't handle a marriage. Marriage, from this day forward, your marriage is spiritual. And that man and that woman is your spiritual partner. All the quarrels and discontentment and fault-finding comes out of your flesh. You're trying to make your marriage work, but it's not going to work without spiritual partnership, that the Holy Ghost can be in the midst, given intimacy from a divine perspective. All right. I'm going to read the scripture in a few moments. Let me read a question that will cause us to host and move out. You got some more? Bring it here. Good morning, Apostle. We got the scripture. Just turn to Matthew 18. My question is, how do I embrace and walk in forgiveness after separation, divorce, and remarrying the same person? After infidelity and an outside child being born? Boy, that's a question, eh? I mean, that's a question to open this with. But I thank God for this question, because this question will be annihilated by the Holy Ghost this morning. This question, I get this question I think this question here can answer every baboon, every bastard, everything that have entered your marriage to cause problem. Let me read the question again. I mean, if the Holy Ghost and He has already give us an answer to this question, your question is Mickey Mouse. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, y'all just can't get along. Yeah, he don't turn the bed back or something like that. You know, something like that. My question is, how do I embrace, all right, and walk in forgiveness? Write that down. Embrace and walk in forgiveness. Listen now. Listen to the problem. After separation, number one. Divorce, number two. Remarrying the same person, number three. After infidelity, number four. And number five, an outside child being born. You see, somebody just said that ain't unforgivable. I can't handle that. That's your problem. That's your personality. That's you without God. I told you love, compassion, and forgiveness has to be in a marriage because you're dealing with two personalities that sometimes not controlled by the soul. Okay? I want you to hear me now. You're dealing with two personalities not controlled by the soul. So spiritual partnership, personality problem, ego, echo, is dealt with by love, compassion, and forgiveness by your spiritual partnership. Now, let me answer this question here. All these questions will be answered in one revelation. And one revelation is, from now on, even though this has transpired, let the Holy Spirit, through you as a Christian, love, compassion, and forgiveness. No, you can't do it yourself, baby. Some of y'all are going through some stuff yet. Y'all have said dumb stuff to each other, and you yourself can't get it off your mind. We're going to have a purging of your spiritual partnership with the Holy Ghost. The gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit, the cleansing of the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit, love, compassion, and forgiveness, which you on your own accord can't do. See, when I talk about spiritual partnership, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit enabling you to overcome your personalities and your differences and let God now bring you into divine agreement from this moment. Now the address, my daughter, the addressing of all those five things, today is your answer. And the question is wonderful. God using you this morning. The question is a wonderful question because now all the other little things that I'm dealing with now this morning with different marriages fall under the category of all these five things you've said which seem impossible for to be corrected. The center of the evolutionary process, listen very carefully, is choice. Where are you making the choice from? Your personality, your ego, your senses, or somebody else's advice? When you are in spiritual partnership in your marriage. Now, I want you to shift now. Marriage can't stand out there alone. I'm shifting your marriage into spiritual partnership. All right? So now, dealing with your marriage is not coming from your personality. It's coming out of your soul from your spirit. So now, a person can be wrong, but you still can forgive them. And God begin to work on them by your love and your compassion. Let's read this scripture before I go any further. In Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 14, even so is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And I just want to put your marriage in there. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Don't be calling your ugly cousin and telling all your marriage business and asking him, can he help you? If he should hear, thou hast gained thy brother. Saying, well, you can gain your mate back. They have done wrong. All this thing my sister got down here, if she just go ahead and let the Holy Ghost do it, he'll turn out to be one of the best men in the world because he's forgiven. When a person recognizes they're forgiven, it's powerful. And if you're not going to get it right, God's going to show you. Simple as that. All right, now, verse 16. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee two or three more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. All right. Verse 17. We're going somewhere with this because the crux of this epidemic and being locked in the house together, I know it can be rough unless you have a spiritual partner. All right? I just celebrated 49 years. And my wife and I have a spiritual partnership that help us a whole lot. Because we know when to shut up and get out the room or whatever you need to do. And know how to come back in the room. You know what I'm saying? And if he should neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Now listen to these next three verses. I want to, for lack of a better word, I don't want to say empty, but this morning by grace and mercy and the peace of God, I'm about to pour, P-O-U-R, your marriage into this partnership with these three scriptures. The help of the Holy Ghost. The differences that you've had, one of you all going to come to reconciliation and the other one going to receive it. And it's not going to be a fake. It's not going to just be for sex. It's not going to just be for happy, because sex and happiness can't run it. It's a partnership that we know God can work it out. All right? Now, I speak peace in your marriage. I feel anointing on me. I know why God left me. I speak peace in your marriage, peace that you haven't seen for 17 years. Oh, I don't know who God told me that. 17 years you haven't seen this peace. I'm speaking it on your marriage right now. See, the gifts of the Spirit are going to go to flowing in here. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the Son of Spirit got to flow when you're dealing with marriage. That's the 17 years right there. 17 years, there's a peace that haven't been seen in your marriage. You're going to see it. Now, I'm going to give you a big word here before I read these other three scriptures. I'm going to spell it. C-H-O-I-C-E. Okay? From this day forward, your choices in your relationship are going to be different on how you're going to handle something if it seems like it's not going right. Because you're not going to be dealing from a personality standpoint. This day, I'm asking you to submit your personality to your soul. Your personality is going to deal with flesh, what I want, what you want. This is a great change coming to your life. Now, verse 18 through 20. Let's look at verse 18 through 20. I want to wrap your spiritual partnership. Notice I didn't say married. I said spiritual partnership, didn't I? I'm going to wrap your spiritual partnership into these three verses. Boy, girl, you're all going to be so powerful. I don't care if you've been married 60 some years. I know my brother Roy been married 60 some years. I know Freedom has been married 60 some years. I don't care. I've been married 49 years. They got a lot. Wilbur and Artie have been married a long time. Just calling a few people. I know that. I understand that. But even those many years, because I've been married 49 years, I'm being ministered to right now. And Carolyn, from this day forward, will have a better husband. Because I can't teach it and preach it and don't live it. So that sometimes my personality just got to shut up. My ego got to shut up. My echo got to shut up. You know your echo is when you talk to yourself. And you always think you're right, you know. Now listen, these three voices let me deal with this other question here. Now, this question here, are this person married? Or they're married, don't know if the man their husband? Or they know when someone is your husband? I hope I'm going to take it this way, that this person here don't have a husband. And they're trying to find out how you know when a person is your husband. Oh, baby, you know. You'll know by the Spirit of God. You'll know if you just take your time, the Holy Ghost will reveal to you a person beyond that suit and beyond that how-do. The Holy Spirit going to look in the heart. Because, baby, after the how-do go and after the sex is over, you need a man. And so you will know by the Spirit of God. If you don't rush, you see, being serenaded and entertained is dangerous, because we know how to do that. We know how to make you feel good that you're the queen of Sheba. We know how to take you to the right place, say the right word, but you need discernment. Write that word down from the Holy Ghost of who your husband or who your wife is. I told my story. I'm in the barbershop cutting hair. I'm a street runner. All right? Wasn't saved. Somebody said, God don't talk to sinner. He talked to me. God came in that barbershop and told me, said that girl in Prairieville, that's your wife. I ain't even looking for no wife. I don't want no wife. I'm out here running. He said, that's your wife in Prairieville. I know who he was talking about. So some strange reason, I couldn't shake it. See, God knew that we were going to have this worldwide ministry, what kind of wife I needed. I don't need no jealous wife, and I don't need no crazy woman when I leave the house. She's sneaking out. I need a woman I could trust. I could be at peace. You know what I'm saying? And God knew that. Because if I had married some of the other women, y'all wouldn't have no pastor. I'd be trying to go find out what it is. I've seen men marry the woman that is not faithful. But God told me, all right, I got your answer. God's going to tell you. I got the answer for this question. How do you know when someone is your husband? God will tell you. That's what he did to me. I just used my illustration. God told me Carolyn was my wife. And so I went on and married her. I ain't had no mind to marry. I ain't know nothing but no married. I went on and married her. I mean, and God helped us. Years that we didn't know, a lot of things we didn't know, but he helped us. All right, now, the 18th and 20th verse is about to address your marriage. The Spirit of God says some of y'all marriage going to sleep. Going to sleep. It's routine. It's regular. Listen to what anybody say though. This morning, it's about to be redeemed. The blood is always flowing in spiritual partnership to redeem your marriage from any substance that Satan tried to put in there. So this morning, by the grace of God, I know why I'm here, to soak your marriage in the blood. To bring a resurrection to your marriage. And sex will be included. Good God Almighty. Staleness, oldness, forgetfulness will come alive back where it should be. Jesus Christ. I'm going to read them scriptures in a few minutes. I want you to listen very carefully. Each, I'm about to bring another word into you, to your spiritual partnership. Each choice that you make is a choice of intention. Now, what is your intention for your marriage? Intention is a seed. It always produces a harvest. So you have to watch your intention. You have to watch that natural thing that's talking to you and pause long enough for the talk to you so you can get a spiritual intention. Not your personality. Not what you want. You remember, we switched from personality marriage to spiritual partnership. Come on. Our marriage is no longer based on personality. What I want, what you want. We got two different personalities. The only way we can become one is spiritual. So today, the Lord bring it to you. My marriage is a spiritual partnership. In other words, I don't run my marriage. I'm yielding my marriage to the Holy Ghost. So now, I don't always have to be right. That's the fight. I know I've been married 49 years. If I just will shut up sometime, you ain't got to be right. So what you losing? See? All right, now, wait a minute now. Oh, my, we use this too. Choices, your intention. You may choose to remain solid in a particular situation, for example, and that action may serve the intention of penalizing. Sharing compassion, extracting vengeance, showing patience or loving. Most of the time it's penalizing. We get quiet, don't say nothing. Pass in the room, nobody saying nothing. I just ain't saying nothing to you. I ain't thinking about you. To hell with you. You ought to get your tail out of here anyway. See, all that going to your mind. All married people say amen. You know you get your man. Yeah, you're penalized. That's your intention. Your intention is to torment them. You're not good enough for me to talk to right now. What you choose with each action and each thought, it is an intention. A quality of consciousness that you bring to your action or your thought. So I'm going to get to the word splendid, like a splint is not whole. A splendid personality. Well, you're in trouble then. Many aspects. One aspect may be loving and patient. Another may be vindictive. Another charitable. And another selfish. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, anybody in your marriage? Y'all know y'all done been through this? Don't y'all set your lack, y'all say he talking to the people on the line. No, I'm talking to y'all up in here. I'm talking to Leroy. I'm talking to Carolyn. I'm talking to everybody. Can't talk to Lauren yet. But she better get it under her belt. She's going to need it. Vindictive. You could be vindictive saying nice words. Let me read now. Matthew 18. How long have I been going, Montreal? That's an hour up there?
Yes, sir.
They had, give me the question. I don't care how bad they are. Bring them here. I don't care what they're saying. Let me answer them. Bring them here. I don't care what they're saying. Bring them to me. I don't care if they're stupid. He said, no, questions are not stupid, and I know how to deal with them. If they ask me a stupid question, I give a stupid answer. Wait a minute now. Well, the Lord will give you the answer. She said she'd been widowed, and she was married to a strong man of God for over 37 years. My question is regarding my purpose. She said, I'm not looking for a husband because it's not my role to do so. But I know God created me a helpmate, and I feel very strongly about that purpose. At 58, I desire to be a helpmate, as I believe in that purpose as a woman. But my husband is a tough act to follow. Yeah, I understand. I want to know that what my prayer should be. I still miss my husband very much. I want to honor his memory. If there's something specific I can or should pray, our four children are adult, praise God. So it's not about having someone to help me take care of my children. Absolutely, I got the answer for you. Ask God to give you direction and be still. Ask God, it's very simple. Ask God to give you direction and be still, and only follow your spirit. Never follow your flesh. Never follow fully. Don't follow fully the advice given to you, because God might use somebody to tell you something. But if that's your desire, the Bible said, therefore I send you what things serve you desire when you pray. Mark 11:24. Believe that you receive them and you should have them. So you have a right to have that desire, but you just, God, 1 John 5:14-15, said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears. If we know he hears, we know we have the petition that we desire of him. I, my prayer and my desire and my hope for you is that your desire be fulfilled. In the 18th verse of Matthew 18, verily I say to you, whatsoever you should bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you should loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. Again, I said, send some more to mother question. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they should ask, whoa, how powerful. Now, marriage can't do this. Verse 19, marriage can't do this. Marriage that does not have the revelation of spiritual partnership going to be in personality, echoes, egos, and opinion. When the Holy Spirit orchestrates the spiritual partnership in your marriage, because Jesus said two become one. That's impossible. That's impossible for the Jackson and the Smiths to become one. Two different backgrounds. But the Spirit of God, when that spiritual partnership is abroad, bring the question. When the spiritual partnership is abroad, you got it. You got it. So could it be that your marriage have never been in verse 18 and 19? See, you got that personality. Crashes and clashes. I know in mine, if somebody else would be truthful on this line, it could be corrected right now. We try to make people be what we want them to be. And they rebel because they want you to be what they want you to be. So you got somebody trying to make me and I'm trying to make you. And so we got argument. See. So the adjustment now, I believe what this day for, is to bring your marriage on the inside. Every argument you've had has been on the outside. If you would have pushed the pause button, be slow to speak, swift to hear and slow to anger, you wouldn't have never had that mess. Because you know what? Your partner would have come back and said, you know what we're talking about? And you never answered me? I was wrong. Give the Holy Spirit a chance to correct the thing. But you trying to correct everything and what caused the problem. Hello, Apostle. My question is, what do you do or how do you follow your spouse if they are doing something that is not of God, especially when your spouse is trying to get you to go with it, but you know it's not right? Don't do it. Follow the scripture. Your spouse is not your God. Now, did it come up with this man thing about the man is the head of the house? No. Now, I'm going to settle this right now. The man is not the head of the house. God is the head of the house. And when a person, Jesus said, I come to separate mama and daughter, sister and brother. And what he meant there is, if someone going the other way and you know it's not right, don't follow. So your husband is not right when he's wrong. See. My question, my husband is born again. I'm born again, but we don't get along. I know why you don't get along. It's personality. Today, that's what I'm here for. Y'all going to get along now. It's a spiritual partnership. Whoever not right, the Holy Spirit, if they're born again, the Holy Spirit is going to convict them. Just give God time. He constantly criticized me. That's personality. How in the hell he going to criticize you? He got problems. I wish he'd listening. Quit that, man. All of us need some criticism. But it ain't for you to give it. Because you need some too. He constantly criticized me and never found anything good about me. Oh, that's sad. And we've been married 40 years. And we quarrel all the time. Help, I'm drowning. I'm a student of God's word. What do we do? He will not listen to other men and women of God. He says we don't know what these people live, lives are in their home. I know God loved him and God loved me too. But you ain't never say you loved him. I don't have that on you. She said, I know God loved him, but I don't see what you say you loved him at. See, the problem is, I say it can't be sex. It can't be how you fix your hair or how your dress fit or how his suit fit. Spiritual partnership. That's when the Holy Spirit can get involved in your marriage and make the changes that people have been looking for a long time. I think it's just this little segment, choices, making the right choice, making a spiritual choice. So my answer to you is, what do I do when your husband is cheating on me? It is bad. Just fix yourself up and do what's right and let the Lord handle it. Don't fight it. There may be some carnality in this, but today I speak over your marriage. I speak over all these ill wills and situations that you're going through. And I speak that God, through spiritual partnership, is giving your husband and you the wisdom to change that whole deal. And I'm expecting to hear from you all to send me a letter, because I believe the Holy Ghost backed me up on this, because really, in the natural, I'm not doing this. I'm trusting the Holy Ghost. All right? I want to get some other things. See, your personality cannot create the reality of your marriage. Get that down. Your personality cannot create the reality of your marriage. Your spiritual partnership is what creates the reality of your marriage. Okay? Once the spiritual partnership get involved, everything changed. Your relationship changed. The way you talk to each other changed. The sex changed. Everything changed. You be so satisfied at home, you ain't got to go nowhere. See? But all those things, had to be, and then submissiveness. Guys who talk about they don't have no sex. Their wife don't give them no sex. It's personality. When the spiritual partnership come, everything gonna start working in place. The holdback is the penalize. I'm trying to find some other thing. It is not easy for a splendid personality to become whole because only some part of a splendid personality seek wholeness. So you can go to a marriage counselor, all right? Or you can go to a minister, come to me, and we can sit down and talk, and things be sized up and sized out. But when you go back, you're going to do the same thing. But with this workshop, the anointing of spiritual partnership is where the Lord is laying your marriage. And the Holy Ghost is going to start rearranging, renewing, resetting, and putting your marriage in a restful position. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. And a lot of time what happening is you're disturbing your own marriage by trying to be right. Let me get to something here. I'm looking for something I read. Let me just drop this in here. How to have non-physical light in your marriage. to have non-physical light in your marriage. In other words, there's a light on in your marriage that can't be seen physically. Huh? When Jesus said, you're the light of the world, when that light is turned on in your marriage, all darkness must desist. Non-physical light. Physical light is, I'm looking for the goodness in you. And I'm looking for something you don't have. But if I look to the other light, I see some goodness I haven't been seeing. I look at Carolyn right now. I see some goodness in Carolyn that I have not been seeing because I was looking on the outside. But now I see a whole host passing through me right now of good qualities of Carolyn because I'm looking in a non-physical light. I'm not looking in how I want her to be, but I'm looking now in how God made her, especially for me. And by me looking for what I want and what I'm trying to make, it messed the whole deal up. I'm looking only in, and then we style our marriage according to people. Somebody help me up in here. Yeah, we're trying to adjust our marriage to please Aunt Sue. Or to please our mom and daddy. Come on. And been doing it for years. Or the neighbor down the street. See, stop that. Spiritual partnership gonna stop it. Y'all send me another question? Some of them questions I know y'all hold it. Y'all don't lack them, huh? Yeah. That's all the question is? What are those questions now? Tell me, let me look at them. Let me judge them. If I don't want to use them, I won't use them. But I need to know what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in here at large. I know sometimes people ask personal questions, but that's a good question. What step was taken by you and Mrs. Thompson to accomplish financial domination together? Obeyed the scripture as we learned, seed time, harvest, tithe, give to help other people, We bought cars, houses, whatever God tells us to do. When he find out that you're going to be a good steward and a good manager, he'll take your marriage to another level. All right, let me read this right quick before I say it. All right, yeah, I'll take it all. What do you do when you are corrected by the Holy Spirit and you apologize and your spouse doesn't receive it? Question, how do I move forward in a marriage where my husband lies to me or intentionally not tell me things that has gone on? Everything from where he is going on, how much money he's making. He listened to his father and male relative on how a marriage is supposed to be. I like this question. Not tell your wife everything. You got to be truthful about these things now because it might be your personality. There have been infidelity in the past. I choose to forgive and move forward. However, he continued to look at and receive pictures of other women from his friend. How can I trust that he's being faithful to me? You can't trust he's being faithful to you. Here's what I'm saying. In this spiritual partnership, move in this van of the 18, 19, and 20 verses. Saturate yourself in it. Soak yourself in it. Let the Holy Spirit make the correction in your life that need to be made. And I preached this morning about faith. Faith sees the invisible, and faith enables you to do the impossible. And your marriage is not impossible. Now I want you to collect your marriage as a spiritual partnership and then let God handle it from there. God will give you the wisdom. God will give you the courage, and God will give you the ability to see what you need to do. I pray for you and bless your marriage. You just follow what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. All right, here's a good one. Good morning. Thank you for your time. What more can I do to get my husband to communicate with me? I've gone to counseling by myself, have expressed my concern, doubt, and issue with him. His response has been, he just need to work on him. His response has been, he just need to work on him. Who, God? Himself. His response has been, he just need to work on him. He need to work on himself? God need to work on him. He need to work on himself. The man need to work on himself. The man saying he need to work on himself? Is that what y'all saying? He's saying himself, he need to work on himself? That's the problem. No, brother, you don't need to work on yourself. That's the problem, self-working. We need this spiritual partnership. Now we need God working on the husband and the wife by the Spirit. I pray God for that marriage, that husband, I believe there's goodness in every man, that God will work on him and show him and give him divine direction. I believe that. I believe God is doing that right now. I believe that's why I'm here. What if I am the only one go to church to get the word, and he never go to get the word to change? All right, forgive him. Start praying for him. Start expecting him to join you. Stop vexing him. Stop showing him his short points and just start praying and let the Lord handle it. Thank God for it. Thank God. When you sit down in your chair, thank God he's sitting right beside me. And you keep doing that, God will touch his heart and bring a change. All right? See, the reason I can answer all these questions, if thou can believe, all things are possible that believe it. With men, it's impossible. It might be impossible with your husband, but with God, it's possible. God will do it just for you. Married 12 years, I'm reading this one and I haven't read it. Married 12 years, husband had a 3-month affair, not sure how to get over it. Also, how do you move on with someone that may not have the same life goal and desire as you do? Well, what I'm sharing with, and I guess you can call this whole marriage encounter workshop, is turning your marriage into spiritual partnership. That's what we can name it, spiritual partnership. And so there's no question you can bring or no situation that can be brought to me that is not already answered. You see what I'm saying? Because what we're doing is we're putting your marriage, listen closely. We're now today, by the grace of God, putting your marriage in a supernatural position. You see? Your marriage no longer dependent upon I said that, he said that, the counselor said that, the science said that, the psychologist said that, the scripture said that. Your marriage has been placed by the Holy Ghost today in a supernatural position. So you cannot afford to go back to your mental man dealing with these affairs, dealing with him not going to church, et cetera. You can't go back to the natural man and try to deal with this. That's been the problem. Now, husband, wives who are open, the one who opened, let God work on you first, okay? And let the Holy Ghost lead you, and one step at a time. Whatever not going to work out, God going to show you. And so just let the adjustments be made in you. In your marriage, the only person you have to work on is you. Okay? Because you cannot defeat a person who walk in love, compassion, and forgiveness. There's no way to defeat them. So that's what I'm asking you to do. All right? Y'all got some more? Give me some more of them questions, and I'm going to close. You got some more? Bring them here. Bring all of them here. I want to see them all. I'm just trying to help God's people. I know lock up in their house all these months together. All kind of hell broke out. What y'all threw? What y'all broke in the house? How to keep your marriage strong in the midst of believing God for children? Get a hand laid on you and have the child. Have I laid hand on you yet? If I've laid hand on you, come back, I'll lay hand on you again. I'm better with money than my husband. Who said that? That's you, huh? He has bad money habit. It's been a strain for us. What do I do? Pray about stewardship. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you your house, your marriage, your spiritual partnership. Stewardship. Ooh, Lord, I love that. Ask the Holy Spirit to give your, now notice, not just you, not just him, your spiritual partnership, stewardship, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything you shall ask, should be done for your Father, which is in heaven. So sometimes you may not get him to pray that prayer, but God will answer you singly to bring y'all together because he said the two become one. All right. All right. Let me see, can I close out in a way that is grateful? A responsible choice is a choice that takes into account that the consequences of each of your choices. In order to make a responsible choice, you must ask yourself, for each choice that you're considering, what will this produce? Do I really want to create that? See, your choices and your intentions create. All right? Now, your marriage is back to the Garden of Eden. Your marriage is back at the Garden of Eden. You can create a mess or you can create a paradise. You can begin to continue to eat from the wrong tree or eat from the tree of knowledge and right. And today I'm believing that all over the world that the Holy Spirit, with my feverish inadequacies and insufficiencies to am the minister to you. But I heard Jesus say, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I speak life. I speak light. I speak living. I speak loving. I speak longevity to your marriage. I speak the ability to drop the rocks and begin to not be vindictive anymore, but to serve love, compassion, and forgiveness. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not sex. I'm talking about a heart. The heart has to handle a marriage, not the body. So I'm thankful to be here with you today. I've shared my life, poured part of my life out to you. I pray that you, if you don't hear nothing else, keep putting it before the Holy Spirit that I'm in spiritual partnership with my marriage. Let me see that, what you got. Bring it, Lord. Bring it here, Lord. Get it out of our hand and bring it here. Because I don't want none of these people leaving undone and think I did them unfair. A question is a question. I learned that from Dr. Price. He might have handled it rough, but all right. But that's something that wrote up about some of the things I was saying. Is this a question? Or is this about some of the things I was saying? This come from Chantel or somebody else? Yeah, well, y'all let me know where it come from, all right? How to partner with individual gifts, desires, and ministry calling to show support for each other doing God's will. Let's just summarize with this. How to get men, husbands, to open their heart with trust and vulnerability with their wives. I feel shut out of in deepness of heart at times, which challenge open and effective communication. The Bible talks about the communication of your faith. A lot of time, all you're going to have to communicate on is faith. Whatever you've been taught, if I'm your pastor, whatever you've been taught from the pulpit, communicate that and it'll work out. Bottom line is, men need to talk more with their wife, whom they trust. I agree with that. And are you talkable though? If you tear him down every time he opens his mouth, he ain't gonna say nothing to you. Shut up and listen sometime. How do you go through depression with your spouse and walk in forgiveness with your spouse if they did a complete change on you from whom you married? Yeah. You helped that change by your personality and your attitude. He found out some things about you he didn't know. So what y'all need to do is go back into that spiritual partnership, Matthew 18, chapter 8, verse 18 to 20, and let the Holy Ghost work on it. All right, good morning. I want to ask, as a man who loves Christ and wants to do as right as possible, please help me to know, what am I doing to keep me out of line with God? Me cussing every once in a while, me allowing fear to come into decision on how I handle things with my wife. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're cussing even now. I understand. Sometimes marriage will make you cuss. Basically, what is it that separates me as a man from the Word of God? Basically, what is it that separates me as a man from the Word of God when you don't intentionally sin but slip and fall at times? Yes, sir, I understand your problem. Your problem is you got to be led by the Spirit. No, you shouldn't be cussing and you shouldn't be slipping. And brother, I pray right now, you're man enough to ask this question, that the anointing that's on my life, a man I've lived clean for 47 years, the anointing that's on my life right now, I release it to you for being a man enough to ask this question. That means that you have intentions you haven't used yet. I speak health and wealth to your marriage, that you will have a testimony out of this world in the days to come. I pray for all the marriage. Y'all lift your hand, husband and wife. I pray for y'all, husband, if you're by yourself, lift your hand. I pray that a fresh anointing be upon all the marriages that I touch today, or the Spirit of God touch today. Now, many are going to listen to this tape. I pray that it touch life in a supernatural way that men and women can enjoy their marriage. I enjoy my marriage. I've been married 49 years, and I'm looking for 40 more years to go and enjoy ourselves. I thank you, and I praise you, Father, for what you have done in this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.